For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You know, teams, with playoff consideration resumes.
I don't hate it. I think what likely happened more so is the television networks were like, we want as many of the big names playing each other. That's what we're paying for. And that winds up with them playing each other. But at the same time, like, you can also explain why the rest of the schedules, you know what I mean? To me, it's like, in the end, we know the SEC is very, very, very intent on getting as many teams as possible. And to me, like, you can say, I don't even necessarily know if it's like, all right, let's give the hard team, the teams that can withstand it, let's give them the bigger schedule. I think that was taken up by, those are the big brands, that's what they're paying for, we want to see them play. But you soften the other schedules to have as many opportunities.
Right. I mean, this Missouri schedule just seems like it was cooked up with the idea in mind of, like, if you gave Missouri a middle or tougher end schedule, we're probably not looking at them as a playoff type team. But when you take, you know, when you give them the schedule that they have, which is probably the easiest in the conference, or certainly on the short list for that conversation with a couple other teams, then all of a sudden you start to think, like, yeah, even though Missouri's farting around with Vanderbilt here, you look at the schedule and you're like, if betting lines were set today, they'd be an underdog at Alabama. They might be an underdog. I would think they're probably a very slight underdog betting wise at Texas A&M, although that would probably be pretty close to a coin flip game. And I think they'd probably be the betting favorite in every other game on their schedule. So I don't know that they're going to get to 10-2 or 11-1. And I don't think, the way we're seeing this season unfold, I don't think 10-2 would be enough for Missouri. I think for most SEC teams, 10-2 would be enough. But I think if they're standing on 10-2, I mean, what is their resume at that point? I think it would be pretty shaky. I think Missouri's got to get to 11-1. But like I said, you know, if you're just looking at betting spreads, I think the Alabama road game is the only one that they would be a pretty significant underdog, you know, if lines were set today.
What's your favorite side dish this week?
Favorite side dish? I kind of like Illinois at Penn State.
Burt you know, got you. Burt talked you into the building. He put some asses in seats.
That's right. Yeah, the big whiteout energy at Bielema's. Like, I don't really know what that means.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by Illinois. I mean, I don't think they're like a playoff team or anything, but I think they're a fundamentally sound team. I thought from day one, Bielema was perfect for that program. You know, that's a program that wanted to get to like 8-4. You know, sort of respect. They don't have aspirations of being an 11-1 type program. I mean, basketball is what butters the bread at Illinois. But you know, I think they want, you know, 8-4 type of football. And I thought Bielema was a type of guy that could get them to that. I mean, they run the football well. They've played fundamentally sound. Luke Altmyer, the former Ole Miss quarterback, making some plays. I don't think Altmyer's thrown an interception yet this season.
No, Luke's been very good. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he's been steady-handed. And I kind of want to see how good is Penn State. You know, is Penn State for real or not? And I'm not saying beating Illinois makes you a national championship contender, but if they come out and just lay a whooping on Illinois, I think I'd have to start taking Penn State a little bit more seriously. I mean, I take them seriously as a playoff contender, but as we've repeatedly talked about on this show, there's a huge difference between playoff contender and national championship contender, and I don't put them on the list yet of national championship contender. I think they're probably a playoff team. I don't know. I don't think they're a national championship team. But if they come out and whoop Illinois by 4 touchdowns on Saturday, then maybe I would start to engage with the idea of them being a tier 2 national championship contender. So that one interests me. I also wonder about the Utah's got Arizona this week, and they had the big win last week against Oklahoma State. But like, I think the Big 12 remains very topsy-turvy. I know we're kind of like, it seems like the the gut reaction is to like crown Utah after they beat Oklahoma State, but I'm not quite there yet. I mean, they played exactly the way we would expect Utah to play in that game. Great win. They're the favorite in the Big 12. I agree with all that, but you know, I do think there's been this rapid urge now that they beat Oklahoma State to crown them the kings of the Big 12. But they got this game against Arizona, who's kind of had their dreams dashed a little bit of being the darling of the season. They already got a loss, but I don't know. I'm curious to see how Utah kind of come, follows it up after that big win last week.
All right, we'll wrap here. How interested are you in the first real regular season game for Ole Miss?
Well, when is that going to happen? Because I'm not. Does Kentucky count?
Are we? I think Kentucky? Okay. So I know we. Kentucky's tough to peg, but what I am interested in, I think Kentucky's defensive front's pretty good, and I'm not really certain Ole Miss's offensive line is good. Like, I can see where and Ole Miss has had zero game pressure at all this year.
Right.
I can kind of see where that game gets weird a little bit.
Yeah, and I do remember the game from a couple years ago where it got really weird, and Ole Miss was very fortunate, actually, to escape with the victory.
Well, if Kentucky gets lined up, Kentucky scored, but they had two men moving in motion, and then
right.
And then Levis, with harbinger of things to come, Levis had a sack fumble.
Right, and Kentucky's just been that program the last few years where they're very hard to predict week to week. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, they get trounced by South Carolina and everybody leaves Kentucky for dead. And then, you know, they come out and do what they usually do to Georgia and Lexington, which is keep it really close, but, you know, come up short of the win. And I just feel like that's been the story of Kentucky's last, heck, I don't know, five seasons, really, where week to week, you know, one week they come out and beat a team that you think they're not supposed to beat or threaten a team that you think they're not supposed to threaten. And then the next week they lay a stinker. I do think they're kind of that unpredictable team that you're a little uncomfortable facing, particularly in this situation with Ole Miss where, you know, they've just been cruising for four straight weeks here, not playing hardly anybody. I am pretty interested by it, but I guess I'm even more so interested, you know, a couple weeks down the line here when Ole Miss has to go to LSU. Not that I've been overwhelmed by LSU. I think I've been underwhelmed more than anything. But that, to me, you know, even if Ole Miss looks good Saturday, that going into Baton Rouge a couple weeks from now is going to be the game that tells me, all right, are we really taking Ole Miss seriously as a national championship contender, or is it going to be a classic Lane season where, you know, he beats most of the teams he's supposed to beat, doesn't beat the Georgias of the world, and, you know, has a nice 10 or 11 win season, which, you know, is still something to celebrate at Ole Miss, and not suggesting otherwise, but I think we'll probably learn a little bit more about that in a couple weeks in Baton Rouge, but I am somewhat interested, I guess, from this first mini-test against Kentucky.
All right, safe travels, buddy.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
That is Blake Topmeyer, of course, of USA Today Sports, now senior national college football writer. When we come back, let's get into the list. We got a Vince Williams update. We'll also, of course, get into the betting cards. Also talk about the other games of the weekend that we're looking most forward to. But we'll also remind you that, of course, the number one spot for indoor golf is Birdies. 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Also, with the weather being what it is and the weather being pretty stinky, it's a great time to go out and play on the simulators because you're probably not going to be able to play your golf round this weekend. Go get on their simulators. You can reserve one today, golf@birdies.com. Also, if maybe you need to do something for your lady, guys, y'all can bring the girls out, and instead of playing on the simulators, you can use the simulators as a karaoke machine. So that is filling up quickly, golf@birdies.com. But Simulator 2 can also be used for karaoke. That makes for a fun night out. Also, with President's Cup going on this weekend, you can play all the President's Cup formats. You can play match play, best ball, alternate shot. And if you book 3 hours on the simulator, you will only pay for the price of two. Golf@birdies.com. Also follow them on Instagram to keep up with all the updates at Birdies 901. Let's get into the list next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Vince Williams Jr. Tim, we got the note. You might be one of the only people, I feel like, before the Grizzlies drafted him that was familiar with Vince's work, probably just from watching VCU games. But we got the news today. The Grizzlies have provided the following medical update on Grizzlies wing Vince Williams Jr. During recent training, that sounds very like British with soccer, Williams Jr. experienced pain in his left shin. Subsequent imaging revealed a stress reaction, not a fracture, but a reaction in the upper portion of his tibia. Williams Jr. will be reevaluated in approximately 4 weeks, is expected to make a full recovery. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. Not going to expect you to know the whole Grizzlies rotation, but one of the questions coming into the year, and I'm not really certain how big of a question it was going to be, but the Grizzlies have kind of a, they have an issue if their starting five is going to be Ja, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and presumably Zach Edey. They are small on the perimeter. And while Vince is only 6'4", he has a much longer wingspan. And so there was some thoughts of maybe in the starting lineup you would include Vince because he's been such a good defender. And then you have Marcus come off the bench, and both guys would probably play similar minutes. But there was a thought of that. I think this pretty much now just solidifies that the starting lineup for the Grizzlies is going to be Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Zach Edey.
I just hope that this isn't
let me tell you, there are lots of people with the injury.
here we go again.
Well, because I've thought about this, and I know this is probably somewhat sports radio-y, but hear me out. What's the fine line between bad injury luck and a team being injury prone?
I kind of tend to think it's all luck. I don't know. I mean, yes, there's certain players who are more injury prone than others, but I wouldn't say that it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
No, I think
it's more just unfortunate circumstances.
I do think style of play can lend guys to get hurt more.
Yeah, I'd say so, but I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily it's, I don't know, leading to others. But, yeah, hopefully this is not the foreshadowing there.
No, the thought is, or at least the hope is, the Grizzlies paid it forward last year with all of the injuries that they had. So, you know, you put a down payment on your injury luck this year. But, I don't know, I think the West is interesting because we saw yesterday with Pelton's computer's projections, the Thunder, no surprise, his computer spat out that they would have the most wins. But his computer had the Grizzlies back up at number two. And I think the thing that was interesting to me is, while if you're asking me to say yes or no, do I think the Grizzlies finish second or better, I think I'm probably betting no. But at the same time, it's like when you think of that log jam, like if we're all going to say we think the Thunder are the best team, okay, I'm fine with that. But, like, the Nuggets did not get better during the offseason. The Timberwolves had a lot of injury luck other than, I think Pelton said, other than Towns, no starter missed more than 10 games. So, like, that's remarkable injury luck. They're turning to younger guys to kind of fill out. They're having to do the same thing that we saw the Nuggets do, where, yeah, you had to pay your guys, and so you're kind of backfilling the end of your roster with young guys. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Like, are we certain the Kyrie, Luka, Klay Thompson thing works? I mean, are we also certain that, you know, Kyrie really is a new person? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like, to me, there's a lot of questions for those teams in the West, kind of like 2 through 10. You could kind of shuffle it up in a lot of different ways for me.
We should have my partner, Jonathan Von Tobel, who's our JBT NBA guy. Yeah, JBT. We should have him on the show because he loves the Grizzlies this year. Loves them. So I think his first future bet was on the Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, to me, the thing that matters most is how many games you get out of Ja. If you tell me they get 65 or more out of Ja, I think that's going to be a pretty good team. I think we've seen when Ja's on the floor that this team is, you know, a 50-plus win team. And so if he is on the floor, I think that's kind of where I am. All right, quickly before we get into the cards, let's do some college football roundup. Let's go with Liberty and App State. So because of Hurricane Helene, I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah, I think you got it right.
Because of Hurricane, or what if it's like Clyde Edwards, Hilaire? Like, what if it's Helene? Like something like that. So App State's completely underwater, flooding, like the pictures, everything out of it.
It looks terrifying.
Looks awful, and it's like, yeah, we hope everyone there's fine. But this was the note that was interesting to me. So according to Bill Conley, because now that game, it's being canceled. And
not rescheduled.
And no one, you know, everyone's got their schedule set, so you can't reschedule it. Removing App State from Liberty's schedule and basing it off of Bill Conley's latest strength of schedule, Liberty's strength of schedule is now 147th in SP+. For those that don't know, there's 134 FBS teams and their strength of schedule, because Bill like ranks everything from like all three divisions, they're now 147th. I really do think if they go undefeated and get in the playoff, like, I don't care what the number is, out of standing up for everything that is right and good in the world, I will find every line to bet against them.
I don't think they're getting in. I don't think that the committee is going to put them in. I don't even know if they beat App State on the road because of App State losing to South Alabama and Clemson.
We don't even know if App State's going to be a bowl team.
Right, so they beat East Carolina last week, much to my chagrin. I had ECU +7.5, and they led 17-0 and did not cover.
That one's not on you.
Very angry about that one. Regardless, I don't know how you put them in. When you look at Boise State, who lost by a field goal on the road at Oregon, and they're going to play UNLV, they're going to play Washington State this weekend, they're going to play Oregon State, who, you know, is better than anyone that Liberty's going to play this year. They're going to play a Mountain West championship, maybe again against UNLV or a Fresno State. You look at Memphis, they went to Florida State and they won. I get it. They lost to Navy, but I mean,
Navy and Army are undefeated.
By the way, how about this nugget? If Navy wins this weekend, it'll be the first time since 1945 that Army and Navy are 4-0 to start a season.
Well, how about this? So Army, who's now in the American, like, they have like the easiest schedule. We could have, I believe this is how it's going to work, Army and Navy could be the respective AAC representatives in the championship game, and I think they would have to play it after the Army-Navy game because that has the standalone date and they can't play the championship. Like, there's in the bylaws.
They would play it December 7th.
So they'll play it December. I thought there was some weird rule of,
I mean, Navy. So when I was on the Navy broadcast team in 2016, they made the AAC championship game, and Matt Rhule obliterated them. But they played that championship weekend. So if Army and Navy were to meet in the conference championship game, they would play it the week before the Army Navy game.
All right, I want to look because they.
I mean, that's what I believe.
No. So that used to be true. You're 100% correct, but.
Well, because Army's never been in the conference, obviously, right, until this year. I don't think we have to get too crazy with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
it's possible.
Oftentimes what happens is they don't have they are extremely well-coached teams that play, like, they hit their ceiling as much as possible, but they are limited athletically. And so typically those teams get popped at some point. Okay, here we go. The Black Knights and Midshipmen will not
They both play Notre Dame, so I don't think we have to worry
about them. But they could be in the conference. See, the Black Knights and the Midshipmen will not face each other in AAC regular season conference games, and the rivalry will continue as a non-conference matchup. In a scenario in which Army and Navy finish in the top two in the conference standings, matching them up in the league's title game, they would play each other in back-to-back weeks. Okay, so you're right. So the first Army-Navy game would be on one of their campuses, and then they play the Army, the big Army-Navy game, which feels like it'd take...
In Philadelphia.
I still think one of them... I would be surprised if we get to a spot where Army and Navy are in the AAC title game.
I think Navy might lose this weekend.
I think they might. We got weather, so more
brutal,
on that.
Brutal spot, too, for Navy.
More on that in a minute. All right, you ready to get in the cards?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's put our cards on the list. All right, Tim, let's hear what you got.
Okay, we will start with UNLV. This is my favorite bet of the weekend, so I'm sure it'll go tragically wrong. We talked about it a little bit. There is not a big drop-off from Matthew Saluka, the now very... no name in the college football world, to Haj Malik Williams. It seems like this team is going to rally around him, and I think UNLV, anything under three, or if you want to play short money line, I was able to grab minus 110 earlier this week on UNLV. At one point, they became an underdog. UNLV did. So,
what time is that? Okay, I got it. All right.
2:30 Central on FS1.
All right.
All right, you know I like to fade that fresh new ranking smell. Give me Baylor -3 against BYU. Yeah. Baylor coming off of a horrendous loss at the gun, and BYU, I'm happy. I bet BYU, and that came home with ease. But Parker Fleming, who I'm a big fan of, he's a lot smarter than me. His Twitter handle Stats O War, and he always has a tweet that says, "Did we really get beat that bad?" And it's the net success rates from those games.
Yeah.
BYU was in the negatives in their victory over Kansas State. So if you just looked at the box score, or, BYU had a punt return for a touchdown, had a scoop and score for a touchdown, it really wasn't that of a big of a blowout. You're going from elevation, primo spot. I think it was like the biggest crowd in decades. Now it's 11 a.m. local start at BYU, at Baylor. I like Baylor here in a bounce back spot, really tricky spot for the Cougars as well. I like Louisville team total under. I believe you can get 20.5. The juice is, I got it at minus 138. I think the juice is like minus 150 ish. This game, I don't understand why there's over money coming in on this game. I think Notre Dame is rightfully a 7-point favorite, even though Louisville is ranked better. As an odds maker has told me, they make ratings, not rankings. I think Louisville's overrated. I really do. And I have not been impressed by them when they've played decent competition. The score last week, not indicative of how that game played out, in a 31-19 victory over Georgia
Tech.
I
had that one as well.
Yeah, I did too. Blocked field goal, return for a score, pick six.
That one hurt.
I think Notre Dame's strength is their secondary. They have a future pro in Benjamin Morrison. They have a budding star in Christian Gray as their other corner. Xavier Watts is a stud safety back there. I don't know if Tyler Shuck's going to be able to get much going, so Louisville team total under 20.5. Couple other ones real quickly. If we get back to three, I'm going to be on UNC. I still might play them where they are. I took some three earlier this week. I'm going to hold my nose and take 7 with Maryland at Indiana. Weather could be an issue there, and I think Indiana might just be getting a little too much love right now in the club. And I'm going to lay it with UCF against Colorado, 14 down at the bounce house. I got a couple others too, but I don't want to waste everyone's time. What else? What do you got?
All right. So we're kind of, it seems like we're talking to each other a lot, because I'm taking a little different angles, but we're kind of looking at the same game. So Indiana, Maryland, I took under 51 because the weather's looking really bad. Looks like we're going to have rain. Looks like we're going to have wind. And I think I'm with you. I both those teams are going to try to throw it. I don't know if they can. Like, I just want the under in that one. my SpongeBob SquarePants play of the week is it's just like I'm at the point now, like when Ole Miss got under three scores at 15.5, I think Kentucky can make this game ugly, and I do think Kentucky can give Ole Miss some problems up front. I do not think Kentucky's going to be able to score with Ole Miss, and so under three scores at 15.5, I took that. The Navy-UAB game, also another weather game. I'm taking under 57 because I do think both teams are going to – both teams are – UAB's definitely going to try to speed it up and throw, but I just don't know if that's the right workings. I'm with you. Give me Baylor -3. I feel like I can't get on the right side of Baylor. UCF Colorado, another weather game. High winds, gonna be rainy. I think
Man, you're going all Jim Cantore here on us.
Oh, I'm the Undertaker this week. There's no question. Like, give me Hell's Bells. I'm going Undertaker. Give me under 62. Are we sure Texas A&M's good?
I don't know.
I just feel like when I've watched Arkansas play, do I think they're a great team? No. I think they are a very solid, good team. They played really one bad half of football. The first half against UAB, they were bad. They had some mistakes in the Oklahoma State game, but they didn't play poorly. They just had mistakes. And so I'm getting 6 there. Like, I'm just taking the 6. I don't care if that's also SpongeBob SquarePants, but give me the 6 in that game. Like, I feel like that game is always fairly close in Jerry's world.
I might have to hold my nose and take Minnesota +11. Now that
I was thinking about holding my nose and taking under 36.5.
But it's down to 34.5 now.
I should have taken that this morning then.
Yeah, a lot of under money coming in there. Can Michigan win by margin? That's my question.
See, Minnesota
might not be able to score.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. What if they like? What if Michigan gets to 13 points?
That. Yeah, you could see that, so maybe that's why I stay off. I took a little Washington State earlier this week, +8. I think that's a really good, as I mentioned earlier, also confirmation, Dan Helley and Petro Papadakis on the call.
Do I know my broadcast schedule? Or do I know my broadcast schedule?
I'm texting with my guy Dan Helley right now, as he will be calling that game there, Washington State and Boise State. You mentioned SpongeBob SquarePants. I took over in this game. Defense is going to be optional. And if I, you know, like they said in Dumb and Dumber, hey, what if they shot you in the face? It's a risk we were willing to take. Yeah. This game goes under, it's a risk I'm willing to take. This game has shootout mindset all over it. I don't think either one of these defenses are really going to be able to slow teams down. So I did bet over Washington State, Boise State in a game that, you know me, I don't like betting overs. But I took the over here, and I took a little with Washington State in this one. By the way, I just want to go back real quickly to UNC Duke.
I'm glad you brought that because I want North Carolina, but like the two, and I'm kind of waiting for the three again. I don't know
now,
if we'll get it.
There's an old adage I was told here living in Vegas that if the number's 2.5, dog is probably the right side, and if the number's 3.5, the favorite's probably the right side. It goes against your mindset because if it's 3.5, you're getting above the key number of 3, and if it's 2.5, you're getting below. But what I've been told, right, the sharp guys are going to want to, if it's at 3 or 3.5 and they like the dog, they would bet the dog. So it's kind of an old, bookmaker's mindset there. But I think North Carolina wins this game. I don't think Duke's very good.
I'm with you. I wanted
Duke beat Middle Tennessee State. Congrats. They should have lost to Northwestern. They were losing late to UConn, and they played a FCS team. North Carolina just gave up 70 to James Madison, and Mac Brown almost retired because of it. But I actually think that you get a pretty good effort from UNC on Saturday afternoon. So I know we're waiting for the three. I was able to get it earlier this week, but I still think you roll with UNC, maybe take them on the money line.
Yeah, I think that I was thinking about doing. What was the other money line that you threw out there? There was one. I was thinking about like a UNLV money line parlay with I was because I for the same reasons though you mentioned with Notre Dame Louisville, I took Notre Dame. I laid the 6.5. It was under 7. I took that. Also, hey,
I'll give you a stat on Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
So, as we know, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. They were 28-point favorite. They have lost under Marcus Freeman as a 16-point favorite to Stanford and as a 21-point favorite to Marshall. If you go from the range of underdog of 7 to a favorite of 7 and anywhere in between, that's a 14-point range. Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame, 11-3-1 ATS. He tends to get his fellas up for these types of game. Louisville last year punked them in a brutal spot for the Irish. Great atmosphere in Louisville. Notre Dame, I don't know if it's good or bad. They're going to be wearing their green jerseys. I don't tend to bet Notre Dame, but I think this is a good spot to bet the Irish.
Also, I have a number for you. Marcus Freeman against ACC competition, 8-2 as the Notre Dame head coach. Both the two ATS losses were straight-up losses. So it's like if you think—
Clemson and Louisville last year.
Like if you think they're going to win, just take them straight up. So I've got— I'm laying the 6.5 there. How does Mississippi State score?
Have we ever seen a non-Vanderbilt, I'm sure we have, but a non-Vanderbilt team catching 38 in the SEC?
So I looked it up. The Chad Morris,
Arkansas teams
caught. So Vandy in 90, the highest SEC spread that I could find was Vandy in 95 against Florida. They were catching 43. They actually made it a 28-21 game. But I mean, we're at now historic totals. I don't know how they score. The weather's also not supposed to be great in Austin either. I don't think Sark's just going to like go pedal to the metal. I'm taking under 61.5.
So I've heard this mentioned. I think it's a good angle. When Quinn Ewers plays, bet Texas no matter what.
Because Arch is going to play. I told you this. Arch
gets
did
you
second.
Mention this to me?
Yeah. Because they get. Now, it turns out it doesn't matter who plays. They cover no matter what. That's but true. The reason why I love it is because Arch comes in the second half and they let him run the offense and they keep scoring.
All right. Can I interest you in Virginia Tech plus 17.5 tonight?
There's something about that line that just reeks.
Like,
now, it's going to be bad weather. Like, I was thinking about the under in that one.
I thought the weather kind of passed Miami.
The report I saw was that it was going to be bad.
Do you just watch the Weather Channel?
Well, I look at, I use weather for, there's like gambling weather websites.
So I have a, my neighbor is a meteorologist. I always text him like, hey, what are we looking at here? He's like, you're good, no wind. I'm like, all right. So because I had to teach. I had to teach the meteorologist, I don't care about rain unless it's like torrential downpour.
Tell me
wind
about winds.
Wind is what we care about.
Yeah.
It looks like, some rain is in the forecast, thunderstorms. So we could get an old delay down there too.
My gambling buddy wants it. He wants I'm kind of staying off. Like, I do think it's a decent spot. As we recall, where did Stanford play last Friday?
Syracuse.
And they had to fly back to Palo Alto to fly back to Clemson.
Are they flying yet?
That's a great point. I'm laying the 22. That at a certain point, like, that's just going to catch up with them. And to me, it's like I'm laying that 22.
Okay, can I give you one more bet that I've made this week?
Yes.
So Georgia plays Alabama, obviously. Uh-huh. Here in town, Circa has Carson Beck 20-1 to win the Heisman. If they win on Saturday, what are those odds?
Four. Probably. Three or four.
I took Carson Beck.
I honestly think when we get back on Monday, whoever wins the game, their quarterback's going to be the Heisman favorite, especially with Ewers being out.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jalen Milroe's odds are shorter, and he does more with his legs. But the reason I took it at 20-1 is what we talked about with Blake Topmeyer. The schedule is outrageous. And if they maneuver it and go, let's say, 12-1 and win the SEC, like, he's got a pretty damn good chance to win the Heisman Trophy, right? Just based off of history telling us the Heisman Trophy tends to go to the quarterback of one of the best teams in the country. Now, Jaden Daniels won it last year. Caleb Williams won it 2 years ago. But Carson Beck has kind of been underwhelming so far. What if he throws four touchdowns on Saturday night?
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, I think Alabama's secondary has had guys.
It's not good, man.
They've had guys open on them. It's just nobody's been able to hit them. Carson Beck, I think, is going to be able to hit them, which is also why I got it at a pick'em this morning. I just took Georgia. I think they're better. I know Georgia hadn't played well, and it's like, to me, it's like, if I'm wrong on that, fine, but I still think Georgia's, I think Georgia's got the better quarterback. I think they're going to have a better game plan for Milroe than they did, and I think they have more mismatches than on the other side.
Yeah. I think Milroe runs a lot, though. I think if you like props, I think over on his rushing yards is a good look this weekend.
Ohio State's also getting into regular season play. They get Michigan State.
Are they?
Yeah, they get Michigan State, 23.5. I'm laying it. I think that's a spot where they name their number. And I'm taking
Letdown spot.
Where?
Give me UConn. UConn against Buffalo. Northern Illinois. Give me UConn. Lay the 5.5 or 6 with the UConn Huskies. UConn Huskies don't suck.
I just don't want to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, it's the.
By the way, so I'll mention this. So I mentioned I took Maryland +7. This is a hold on to your butt special because Kirk Cignetti is really good and
runs it up.
The Maple Missile is doing his thing. Curtis Rourke. Maryland was a 14.5-point favorite against Indiana 1 year ago, and now they're catching 7. I just think this is a lot.
Would they have been a 14.5-point favorite against JMU?
No.
That's why the line's flipped.
Yeah. No. I understand it. I just think it should be like 4.
No, I'm
so
with
a full touchdown, and the public is pounding Indiana because, like, I heard, I think it was the Cover 3 fellas talking about, like, when will Indiana get their first loss, and one of them mentioned
Michigan.
Not until like it was like Michigan or Ohio State. I'm like, come on. Like, look, I bet Indiana over 5.5 wins. I am thrilled at the start, but good Lord, people, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Fighting Cignettis up there. By the way, that could be a weather game too. Helene
That's why I took the under.
Yeah.
I've also got, as mentioned, I got Georgia. Iowa State, Houston, more weather games. I'm taking the under 43. Houston's that team that I can tell I'm going to be the dog chasing my tail all season. So I'm betting on that game getting gross. And then here are Florida State's offensive outputs. 13, 12, 14, 21. SMU is going to be so hungover from that TCU game. Give me under 47.
Yeah, that's on the list. I've thought about taking some Florida State. That offense is so terrible. But I mean, if we get to 7, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll mention our games of the weekend, and we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, what are your games of the weekend?
The obvious is obviously Bama and Georgia. Can't wait for that on Sunday night.
Saturday night,
excuse me. And then I'm really excited for Washington State, Boise State. I think entertainment-wise, it's going to be a really, really fun game to watch. So those would be my two obvious ones. And then I kind of want to see the bounce house.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the bounce house down at UCF is going to be pretty lively for old Shador coming to town.
I'm also pumped for Sunday Night Football. I think Bills Ravens. I think that one's going to be
fun. I wasn't even thinking we were talking. Bills Ravens is going to be electric. That's going to be an awesome atmosphere.
All right, for today's Tell Your Story, the WNBA Players Association released this statement after Christine Brennan asked DeJounte Carrington about the incident where she poked Caitlin Clark. To unprofessional members of the media like Christine Brennan, you are not fooling anyone. That so-called interview in the name of journalism was a blatant attempt to bait a professional athlete into participating in a narrative that is false, designed to fuel racist, homophobic, and misogynistic vitriol on Twitter. You cannot hide behind your tenure. She literally asked what happened in the incident. That's all she asked. Like, I'm not the world's biggest Christine Brennan fan, but, like, it was literally just asking, doing her job. All right, buddy, have a great weekend. Good luck on all the bets.
Yeah, let's have some winners.
Let's have some winners. We'll talk to Tim again on Tuesday. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.